I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer, and even to an outsider, bike messengers are intense. To see them race across the Williamsburg Bridge, cut across Delancey, or weave through taxi traffic in Midtown, you'd think they were riding for their lives. And sometimes they are. They seem fused to their bikes, at times taking risks that make drivers, pedestrians, and other cyclists gasp in horror or yell in frustration. Their oversized messenger bags are designed to make deliveries, but being a bike messenger is not just about the job. As my next guest explains, it's a way of life. Jeffrey Kidder spent nearly 3 years as a bike messenger before becoming assistant professor of sociology at Northern Illinois University. His new book, Urban Flow, Bike Messengers in the City, explores the subculture, and it really is a culture, of these wheeled couriers. Hey, Jeffrey, welcome to WNYC.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Well, this is just a terrific subject for a book. Listeners, we have time for a few of your calls. If you are a bike messenger or used to be a bike messenger and survived, please give us a call and tell us what drew you to the work and the life. 212-433-WMYC, that's 212-433-9692. What is the attraction to life as a bike messenger, especially in tri-state area traffic? Explain the allure. As always, our comments page is also open, WMYC.org. You can click on the Brian Lehrer Show. So, Jeffrey, you were a bike messenger yourself for about 3 years before you became a sociology professor. What was the draw to the bike messenger life?
Well, I was really interested in studying. I was in graduate school at the time, and I was very interested in studying what it is about work that can make it enjoyable. Because as we know, for a lot of us, work isn't enjoyable, and instead it's sort of a drudgery. But with bike messengers, we see an occupation and a subculture where, at least for a certain portion of the group, the occupation really becomes part of an all-encompassing lifestyle that is really enjoyable for the people that do it. So I wanted to find out, you know, why is it that this job in particular has this real meaning for some of the people that do it?
And it seems that bike messengers are going kind of the way of travel agents and watch repairmen with email and electronic file sharing. Is it a subculture that's dying?
It is and it isn't. Without a doubt, in the 1980s, there were, you know, 4,000 or more messengers in New York City. Today, that number is considerably smaller. And that is a direct result of, as you said, emails, fax machines, and other digital forms of delivery, but there are still things that need to be physically delivered. Advertising proofs because of color calibration issues, still sometimes you need a hard copy. Some legal documents, you still sometimes need a hard copy. And then there are just other things, medicine, food, that need a tangible thing to be delivered from point A to point B. And so messengers are still able to do that, but you are right that that occupation has shrunk considerably over the last 30 years.
Jeff, I knew we were going to get calls right away, and we have. So, Steve in Brooklyn, you are on WNYC with Jeffrey Kidder.
Hi, my name's Steven. I'm working right now, actually, and I'd just like to say that the absolute independence of the job is what pulled me in, and flowing with traffic doesn't hurt. So have a good one.
Wait, don't hang up, Steve. Wait. What do you mean you're working right now? You're not pedaling.
No, I hopped off the bike to call. I listen to WNYC when I work a lot. We got a MP3 player with an FM tuner. But, it's a job where I can hop off my bike for a second at a pickup and decide to call into a radio show if I want. And,
okay,
like,
there's
not a lot of jobs where you can do that.
Okay,
so that
is so cool, and I am so thrilled that you called, and I really thank you. But do you listen in one ear to WMYC and listen to the traffic? I don't want to sound like the car talk guys, but are you listening in one ear to the traffic and listening to us in the other ear? Or
No, I got a pair of headphones that they're not the noise-canceling ones. They just fit my ear softly, and I can still hear traffic through them, so it's fine. And most experienced messengers, you get good enough in traffic that whether you hear or not isn't really an issue. So you just know your surroundings that well.
All right. All right. Thank you, Steve, so much for your call. And it sounds like you love your work and it gives you total flexibility. Let's take another call. The phones are lighting up, Jeff, as I'm sure you're not surprised to hear in New York, because this is your subculture. Let's put up, Paul in North Salem. Terrific. Paul, it looks like you were a messenger a while ago. Are you still riding the bike?
I'm still riding the bike. It actually was the first time that I started riding a mountain bike in Manhattan and became a bike messenger and got a road bike. And it was just the most thrilling thing to be able to ride, to be the fastest moving thing in Manhattan. In fact, the other day I was crossing Fifth Avenue right in front of the public library. And right when you reach that peak, there's a slight climb coming out of the 50s. When you hit the public library, it's a straight downhill down into towards Union Square, and you can pick up so much speed, and it was such a rush to ride Fifth Avenue and being the fastest moving thing, you know, going through Manhattan at that time.
Hey Paul, do you wear a helmet?
I do. I didn't when I first started, and a fellow messenger looked at me as if I was the most insane person in the world. And I rode a helmet. I've had a couple. I was clipped a couple times. I actually had a. I was riding on Second Avenue one time, and a van had grabbed my front wheel with the exposed part of his bumper and just yanked the biker out from under me. Another time, I was coming. I was downtown one time, and it was winter, and I'd hit a little patch of ice, and I was up and I was down. And I hit really, really hard. And if I wasn't wearing a helmet, I would have been in a lot more trouble than I actually was. But it was, as far as the job, it was the most thrilling job I could have.
All right, Paul. I'm not a safety freak, but I'm really glad that you wear your helmet. And I'm really glad that you called in. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. My guest is the author of a new book about the subculture of bike messengers. It's called Urban Flow. His name is Jeffrey Kidder. And Jeffrey, those two calls raise an obvious question, because we talk about cycling. Brian talks about cycling a whole lot here on the Brian Lehrer Show. But bike messengers seem to interact differently with the laws of the road. And traffic seems to be a set of problems or dangers that have to be continually resolved. Explain how that works, the road through the eyes of a bike messenger.
Yes, that's a good question, and that actually gets back to what Steve, the first caller, was talking about when he was talking about independence, is that messengering doesn't just allow autonomy, such as the ability to stop, pull over, and call into your favorite radio show, but the job itself actually requires the messenger, in order to be able to quickly get from point A to point B, to creatively and spontaneously move through traffic, you know, the weaving through taxis like you were talking about in the introduction. And that's an essential part of the service that messengers are offering to companies that need these deliveries. And doing that also requires the messenger to behave in traffic in a way that's not exactly how traffic engineers planned, right? You know, we design roads for people to basically travel in straight lines, to stop at red lights, go at green lights, and, you know, follow the basic traffic laws. But what a bicycle allows the individual to do is to sort of slip between the cracks, so to speak. And so instead of looking at traffic as a set of rules, again, such as don't, you know, this is a one-way road or stop at red lights, instead traffic becomes this sort of maze or a problem where the bike messenger is weaving in and out, sort of solving these problems continually. And that is also what makes the job so enjoyable, is it becomes a very creative, in some ways almost artistic enterprise. And it can be very exciting or very thrilling, as Paul, the second caller, was talking about in solving those problems.
Which I totally get, and which is why when I was young and thought I'd live forever, I actually considered becoming a bike messenger. But I was in San Francisco, so I quickly gave up that idea. But I now understand, living here in New York, and I hear this from a lot of New Yorkers, that bike messengers are among the most reviled groups in New York City, especially as these bike lane wars rage on, and other bikers even talk about bike messengers and the way bike messengers ride. And it does seem extremely dangerous to a lot of other New Yorkers, especially when we see you coast between two buses, for example. Can you talk a little bit about the way bike messengers are perceived?
Yes, definitely. And that's you bring up a good point that you, when you lived in San Francisco, it seemed like this sort of romantic occupation. And then you move to New York and you quickly find out that they are oftentimes very disparaged by the public. And there are real differences across the country in how messengers within certain cities are viewed. In New York, messengers do sort of seem to be oftentimes disrespected and sort of really unappreciated. Whereas in a city like Seattle, I also worked for about a year in Seattle. Seattle actually holds Messenger Appreciation Day, where one of the biggest office towers gives out free lunches to their messengers, hires a mechanic to come and work for free on messengers' bikes. And that sort of seems very foreign, I think, to the New York mind, where really the attitude is to get messengers away from you as quick as possible. And that does tie in with all these issues like you're talking about, like the bike lane wars that are going on in New York. And yeah, I mean, it's a complicated issue, but I think thinking about how messengers use traffic, again, this is very different than how the standard commuter thinks about moving through traffic. And again, to go back to Paul and sort of talking about how thrilling the job was, it's because the messenger doesn't want to just ride in the bike lane. The messenger really does want to sort of solve these problems in traffic in order to get as quickly as possible from point A to point B. But as you've pointed out, Jamie, that is sometimes, at least to outsiders, very frightening to watch. And
yeah,
it can seem dangerous. However, to the extent that people have studied bicycle messenger injuries, it's not a hot field for health specialists, but to the extent they've studied it, messenger injury rates don't appear to be any higher than other cyclists.
Now, that is fascinating. And I imagine that tourists looking at New York City pedestrians probably think that we take on a lot of risks that you wouldn't take on. We analyze the traffic and weave in and out between buses and do all kinds of things you wouldn't do anywhere else.
Exactly.
As well. So we look a lot like bike messengers in other parts of the country. Let's take a call from Edie in Manhattan. Edie, you're on WNYC with Jeff Kidder.
Yes, Jamie, how are you? I was a bike messenger. The reason why I went to bike messenger because I wanted to learn the city for a yellow cab, and then I went ahead started riding my bike. I mean, working as messenger for 1 year, and then I went ahead to get my license for yellow cab driving. I've been driving yellow cab since then. You know.
So you were a bike messenger, and now you drive a yellow cab.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Do you have patience for the bike messengers?
Oh yeah, I actually enjoy bicycling more than driving a yellow cab because I never stop at red light. I always do what I like and I go wherever I want and I can fit any street and any corner. But now with the yellow cab, I have to follow the rules kind of here. You know?
All right, Edie. Well, thank you very much for your call. I can certainly imagine the newfound frustration behind the wheel waiting at the red light when once you could just whip along. Although we would advise that all cyclists follow the rules of the road, right, Jeffrey?
I think that it's a generally a good idea, but obviously for people that are making their living on how fast they can make deliveries, there's always going to be an incentive, right or wrong, in order to ride faster.
Jeffrey, I only have about 30 seconds. As a sociologist, is there some larger message the rest of us could take or lesson from the bike messenger?
Yeah, certainly. And that would really come down to how messengering, unlike other sort of entry-level style occupations, when you compare bike messengering to, you know, being a fry cook or working at Kinko's, what makes messengering so special and the reason that a bike messenger develops a bike messenger lifestyle and someone that makes photocopies for a living doesn't is because that messengering does allow for this spontaneous creative action in traffic. And that is something that's really structured out of a lot of occupations these days. And that's why so many people that become bike messengers find it so satisfying because it gives them that ability to act creatively and spontaneously. And that really is missing, really, in a lot of jobs today.
And there's the life lesson from Jeffrey Kidder, author of Urban Flow, Bike Messengers and the City. Thanks to Jeffrey for being with us. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC.